Farm View with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by Tierlawn.
Hello and welcome to Farm View. Well, as usual, it's Kieran O'Connor here with your weekly farming programme. Well, on this week's show, a busy show for you, I look back at last Monday's IFA National Nitrates meeting, where over 2,000 farmers attended in Fermoy to talk to Waterford IFA Chairman John Heffernan. I'll preview next week's Mercosur protest at Leinster House, being organised by the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association. We look ahead to the Farmers Journal annual Dairy Day, and we'll hear how only 18% of our quad users on farm wear helmets. And plus, as always, we'll have our farming calendar.
Farm View with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by TierlawnFarmLife.com.
Well, on last Monday night, over 2,000 farmers turned up at the National Nitrates Derogation meeting at Corn Market in Fermoy. Very important meeting for the future of farming in Ireland. And after the event, I got a chance to talk to Waterford IFA Chairman John Heffernan, the 4 Mile Water milk supplier, very much involved with last Monday night's meeting. First of all, John, over 2,000, you must have been thrilled with the turnout.
Yeah, just fantastic turnout, and I'd have to give great credit to our organisation to get the whole event run so efficiently and in a very wet and difficult weather conditions. But look, those people came there from all over Ireland. So we had farmers from Cavan and Monaghan came down by us. God only knows what hour they got home at. But anyway, we had a great lot of support as well from industry. With all the co-ops here, Lawn were there. And we had Dairy Gold and on the West Cork co-op is well represented. And of course, we had a fantastic display from the industry as well, from all the feed companies. There was trucks all over the place. Just emphasising the point to the minister that not alone are farmers' futures at stake here, but all the wider industry as well. Because there's
like the nitrous irrigation, the people on the outside, it's critical because Ireland is an outlier as such. We're the one country that we've a special derogation because of our grass-based system. And that seems to be the one big selling point we have to remain with that special nitrous irrigation as against the rest of Europe.
Yeah, like Commissioner Osmond is coming on Friday, and it's so important that this big support we got last night strengthens the minister's hand. But Commissioner Roswell, the Environment Commissioner from Brussels, will be here on Friday. She's been brought out to visit derogation farms and to just explain more, you know, on the ground of how the system works here. Because this is a message that needs to be given very, very strongly by our minister, by all our officials and our MEPs in Brussels, that we are a special case. We're a grass-based system.
Now, water quality, going back to that, and of course, the whole area of slurry storage, and I know Thames and government support. A lot of steps have been taken, be it through the trading shoe, protected urea. But there is a problem out there, John, and you feel that farmers can get to the level that is being required?
They will, but I suppose the uncertainty at the minute around the derogation has stopped a lot of the people from having the confidence to go forward and invest the money and go into the bank and apply for the loan and whatever's to be done, because they just need a bit more reassurance. But thankfully, this year, with the strong meat price, like we've had a lot of good work done all around the water quality issue, because there's a lot of extra stores being put in now at the moment and has done in the last few months. So there's guys that had issues around storage, you know, addressing the issue, and all these issues would be addressed in a much more positive way if we didn't have the uncertainty surrounding the derogation.
Now, obviously, there's TAN support and there's government support there. What are you looking for the government to do to help farmers in this interim? Do you feel there's enough being done, and there was an announcement at budget time as regards support? Are IFA happy with that?
We would have lobbied to the department very strong, and all the local TDs back there on you know, maintaining the grants. The big thing here, you know, is it's probably the devil is in the detail here, but the planning exemption for the slurry storage for the smaller farmers should be a positive. The grant, the Thames aid, you know, is there, you know, then nice. For the younger farmers, up to 60-70%. But the other thing is the accelerated tax relief. Like, this is a good year, guys, slipping a bit, but at the same time, there's a bit of cash built up in the system, and fellas are able to invest in the slurry storage, and they're going to get the 50% accelerated tax relief for that.
Now, as regards the water quality, do you feel the farmers are being unfairly criticised as regards the whole water quality scenario? As you say, the commissioner is coming next weekend, going to view some of the farms and the whole grass-based system at first hand. But do you feel there's a bias against farmers, or do you feel that farmers know there's a problem, are working on it, and hopefully we'll get there in time?
I know. I think that there's, you know, this is why, you know, the argument has to be made for more time. It's because I emphasised last night by our own policy director, Ty Buckley, like looking at the latest GPA figures. Now, these are the official EPA,
the Environmental Protection Agency.
Yeah, their water quality results nationally have shown that the worst water quality in Ireland is in counties Kildare, Meath, Dublin and Louth. That's where the worst water quality is. The best water quality is in County Cork, Sligo, Mayo, and I can't think of what the fourth one is, but the point is, Cork comes in.
A high dairy county.
A county with almost 30% of the land base in Cork in derogation.
Okay.
And they had the fourth best water quality in the country.
Okay.
So, like, there's serious questions to be asked. Why is it the worst water quality in the areas where the highest population is? And there's a definite link there between the population and the water quality. And, like, we're not looking for a pass. We never, ever, ever said that. But we want acknowledgement that we need a fair playing pitch, that there's other issues at stake right here. And we've said this before.
Another complication as regards the whole water quality here is the Habitats Directive. And what's your take on that? From an EU point of view, they're very adamant about this Habitats Directive.
Yeah, well, I think that is very unfair that they brought this in so late in the day. Like, the Habitats Directive is something that's, it's complex. It's add more layers of bureaucracy to the whole thing. It's the demand for each individual farm to have assessments done on habitats and all of that. And I think that, you know, it was a very unfair move by
it. It's an added layer on top of the whole water quality with regards to sustainability and regards, we'll say, the low emission slurry spreading and protected urea. This is an add-on.
It is, and I don't believe that it's practical at this stage for any serious assessment to be done at farm level. Like, the department will have to find a way around this, but I don't think that at this stage that the personnel are in the department, or that they know that there isn't actually a mechanism there where.
But is it a must do? Is it a deal breaker? Is it part of the package, or do you feel it? I know you, the minister's guest speaker, in Fermoy to a packed hall in the corn market, over 2,000 farmers there on Monday night. Is the Habitats Directive a must do, or is it a case of trying to push that, kick that can down the road as regards that, and get the water quality right on its own first?
No, I think we'll have to deal with the Habitats Directive, but I think that not in the way that was initially being opposed by the department. I think they're wanting to find ways and means around dealing with it in a more, I suppose, a broader way that it's not going to take over. You know, it's not physically possible to do the level of investigation that they want to do, but we will certainly have to be on board to give them whatever they require from us, but in a way to...
So overall, to summarise, you had the minister, you know, 2,000 farmers there, the commissioner coming next weekend. How hopeful are you of a positive result here, John?
Well, I think I'd be relatively positive, but because... Like the last time, okay, we're on a cliff edge, you know, they're saying the 1st of January, but the position the last time wasn't made till March, it won't be probably made till March this time. But like, we can't be thrown under the bus next March and told that the derogation has been taken away. I don't believe that's going to happen. But I this will be all done over a period of time. I would say that one of the strongest things that came from the floor last night was the level of farmer input, where people got the microphone and they spoke about their own personal situation on their own farms, highlighting how serious it was to the minister for what it's like for farm families on the grassland. Mm-hmm. And I give full marks to the people that have the confidence to do that.
Well, John, let's hope we'll have a positive result from this weekend. It's a vital visit. The EU Commissioner coming to Ireland. I know the Minister set up a lot of farm visits and to bring her literally to see at first hand the work that's gone on, because the nitrous derogation would have huge implications for the industry if Ireland are being pushed back to 170. John Heffernan, Chairman of Wofford IFA, once again, thanks for talking to us. I'm delighted about the huge turnout and the positivity from last Monday. And let's have hope we'll have positive results from the Commissioner's visit to Ireland this weekend.
Been my pleasure, Kieran. Thanks very much.
Farmview with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by TierlawnFarmLife.com.
Well, on Thursday next, the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association, the ICSA, will mount a major protest at the gates of Leinster House. That's on Thursday next at 11 o'clock, calling on all politicians to stop talking and start acting on Mercosur. Joining us on the line is President of the ICMSA, Sean McNamara. Sean, you literally say it all there, the importance of Mercosur, the talking is over.
Yes, definitely the talking is over at this stage. We're looking at the government, it's all talk about what they want to stop Mercosur, but they're not doing anything about it. So the talking is all over at this stage. It's too serious for farmers. If it comes in, it could mean a 45% dip in the price of beef within 5 years.
Just to let people who are not fully sure, Mercosur is about the South American countries, particularly Brazil, exporting their product into Europe, being allowed into Europe with totally different traceability and sustainability standards.
There's no traceability and they have far weaker climate rules, so we're all being told about the climate change at the time, and they've very poor animal welfare. That's the big thing, very poor animal welfare.
So as regards this, obviously I know two of our MEPs have taken a strong stand by backing a legal challenge which is holding up all this procedure with Mercosur, because a lot of European counterparts, farming hasn't the impact that it would have on Ireland if it was to go through, but two MEPs are making a strong stand with a legal challenge.
That is true. Two of our MEPs, Kieran Mullooly and Michael McNamara, making a strong stand against it, and it was supposed to come in the beginning of December, but now this legal challenge goes ahead, it will stop for a while and until the new year or after. But the big problem we have is our own other MEPs is not backing them. I want to see fully, like I said before, want to bring them all into a room and get them all to talk the one way, not one crowd talking one way and the other crowd talking the other way.
So you want all the MEPs, but more importantly, Michael, on Thursday next at 11 o'clock, you want every farming family, as many as possible, make the trip to Leinster House, show strength in numbers, because for the MEPs, for Kieran Mullooly and Michael McNamara, it's so important we've big numbers there on Thursday, because the future of the beef industry and farming families and rural Ireland is at stake here.
That is true. Like, for Kieran Mullooly's sake, Michael McNamara's sake, they have done the hard work on buses, especially Kieran. They've done serious hard work on buses on our behalf to try to get a legal challenge to this. And the guy says, it's up, like, if Kieran has the crowd there, or Michael McNamara, or MVP's there in Dublin, next door, to go look out for us. Like, that's the way I look at it. It's one thing I'm asking people, for the first time, I'm asking everyone to help, no matter who they are. It's their livelihood, it's the future of our younger farmers, and it's the future of rural Ireland. And if we can't get across, if we're not able to put that cross line, and Mercosur goes in, goodbye, rural Ireland.
Well, I think you said in the press release, together we must send out one clear message, no to Mercosur, yes to farming in the future for Irish farming. And calling on all politicians, stop the talking, start acting. It's the big protest, the major protest as regards Mercosur, Thursday, 11 o'clock at Leinster House. And listen, I hope you have a big turnout. Sean McNamara, ICSA President. Sean, as always, thanks for taking the call. Best of luck with the protest on Thursday.
Thanks very much. It's very nice to know your show.
Farmview with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by Tierlawn.
And welcome back to part two of Farmview. Now let's have a look at some items from farming Canada. Firstly, turning to our farmer markets and country markets. And as always, huge array of top quality farm fresh artisan food available every week across Waterford City and County. Saturday mornings from our farmers market, Priest Road, Tremor. We Strably Farmers Market every Saturday from 9 till 1. And also Waterford Farmers Market in John Roberts Square. Thursday, Dungarvan Farmers Market, Grattan Square, runs from 9 till 2, while on Friday mornings your Waterford Farmers Market, St. Olaf's Hall, running from 9 till 2, and also on Friday mornings Dungarvan Country Markets, Causeway Tennis Club and Abbeyside, again running from 9 until 2. Turning to our livestock mart, Waterford Ross Mart, this Saturday general cattle sales from 9, calf sales from 10, sheep sales every Monday also from 10. Don't forget the next winning sale is on Monday next, that's Monday the 10th, 5:30, and weekly every Monday for the season, with entries now being taken. Richie also tells us that their annual winter fat stock sale is on Saturday the 6th of December. Dungarvan Mart general cattle and calf sale, of course, as usual, every
every Monday from 11, while the next weaning sale at Dungarvan Mart will take place on Thursday, the 20th of November. Again, entries now being taken. Chagas Wharf and Kilkenny Autumn Webinar Series continues on Tuesday night next. Very much important one for sheep farmers. Nutrition and health of pregnant ewes and lambs with Katrina Foley, Miriam Walton and Michael Goddison from Chagas. All on Tuesday night in the Chagas Wharf Autumn Webinar Series. Just go on to chagas.ie. Of course, it starts at 8 o'clock on Tuesday evening. Now, two big events in the county this weekend. Ned Dunphy was on to remind us that in the east of the county, a major tractor run All in Aid on Sunday at Garden Morris Kill, All in Aid of Lourdes Pilgrimage Volunteers Fund. Registration in Garden Morris Kill from 11, take off from 12. So a big event in Garden Morris this Sunday, All in Aid of the Lourdes Pilgrimage Volunteers Fund. While up in the west of the county, Tom Power was on to tell us that the Ballinamila Community Centre will they'll hold a major tractor run and vintage cars and cycles also on this Sunday. That's taking place on Sunday. Registration from 11, take off from 12. All proceeds going to the development of the Ballinamila Community Centre. More details and then you'll find out on Ballinamila Community Centre. Turning to a point-to-point front, busy weekend this weekend. This Saturday we've Clare Hunt's point-to-point at Quakerstown, while on Sunday we've Duhallahun's point-to-point at Drumahan and Mallow, as well as Wexford Hunt's point-to-point at Knockmullen House, New Ross, County Wexford. While on Sunday the 16th, don't forget the Golden Vale Hunt's point-to-point will take place at Tourtulla in Thurles. And finally on the show jumping front, Shanakil Equestrian Centre Kilmack, well, they'll host their Summer Autumn Series finals this Sunday. Non-stop show jumping action from 9. And while on show jumping and on international show jumping front, I want to say congrats and well done to young Wofford riders Sam Wedger and Charlotte Foley, who took gold for Ireland at last weekend's international show at Cheshire.
Farmview with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by TierlawnFarmLife.com.
So one of the big events on the dairy calendar every year is the Irish Farmers Journal Dairy Day, and this year's event will take place on Saturday the 15th of November, just around the corner in the UL Sports Arena in Limerick. And join us on the line to look ahead to this big event. We're delighted to be joined by dairy editor of the Farmers Journal, that's Aidan Brenn. Aidan, welcome back to our programme.
Thanks, Kieran.
Aidan, before we discuss Dairy Day and what an event it has become, first of all, looking back on last Monday night, the nitrates, the National IFA National Nitrates meeting, what a turnout by farmers. And it just shows you the serious implications of the nitrates derogation for the dairy industry in particular.
Absolutely, Kieran. Over 2,000 farmers turned up. And it wasn't just farmers there in night either. There were CEOs from the main agribusiness companies. I saw John Murphy and John Malloy from Tyrone there. So that just emphasises the importance of it, I suppose, not just for farmers, but for the wider industry and the rural economy.
Now, the minister was there on the night and spoke and very aware of it and said since he came in as minister, it's one of his key objectives is the whole nitrates derogation. He made a statement on the night that while the end of the year, people like certainty by the end of December, if it meant waiting till March, he felt might be better off waiting to ensure of a more positive result. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, he did say that he could get certainty in the morning, but it mightn't be the certainty the farmers want, as in we wouldn't get a derogation. So he says he's going to fight hard first. He's going to wait as long as it takes to get it. He was certainly indicating that it'll probably be March before we're going to know for sure whether or not we're going to get a derogation or not. It's probably not good news for farmers that are in a bit of limbo at the moment. And I think that's really the message I took away from it, is the uncertainty that all this creates. From a business point of view, from a business planning, investment and so on, farmers are in limbo and they want certainty on where they're going with the derogation.
Now, of course, as I said in the intro, from your point of view, the big event is Saturday the 15th of November, just around the corner at UL Sports Arena Limerick. Farmers Journal Dairy Day, and just before we came on air, you mentioned to me, it's running since 2017, but what a success it has been, Aidan, and well done to all involved in it.
Thanks, Kieran. Yeah, we're delighted. We're delighted to be going to UL this year, to the Midwest, to the University of Limerick campus. It's a fine facility, all under one roof. I think it's the size of 3 or 4 basketball courts. We're really excited about bringing it to Limerick. Obviously, we've the same format as previously, so we're going to run 2 stages. There's talks and discussions and forums taking place, I should say, throughout the day on each of those stages. And in between that, then, we're going to have about 80 trade stands where farmers can go and mingle and talk to the tradespeople to get a sense of what they're selling in terms of services, products and so on. So it's a kind of an informal day, casual atmosphere, but yet some really interesting and hard-hitting topics being discussed at the forums as well.
Well, definitely has been a fantastic formula, and I've been at it year on year since you first kicked off in 2017. I think the beauty, and you touched on it there, you have your trade stand, you have your various talks, you have a lot of experts from the industry, beef ministry itself, from Chagask and Advisory, and of course farmers themselves. So it's that mix, as you say, not too serious event. It isn't a national conference, but my God, there's a lot of, we'll say, latest technology imparted on the day.
There is, yeah, and a big focus this year obviously is milk prices and dairy markets and where they're going, because we're seeing a big reduction in milk price over the last 2 months and more cuts likely to come. So we're hearing from the leading experts, go both nationally and internationally, on where that's going. Also, slurry storage, you mentioned nitrates earlier. There's a 21% increase in slurry storage requirements on dairy farms coming into place by 2028. So we're having a discussion on the best forms of that slurry storage, the costs, the pros and cons and so forth. So that's just a flavour of some of the stuff we're talking about.
And of course, it's great to have the actual farmers there, the men on the ground who have been doing it, who have embraced all these various changes, no matter how difficult they've been. And you also mentioned to me that I think we've one of our own dairy farmers from West Waterford, from Ballyduff, Michael Ahern, involved.
That's right, yeah. Michael is the reigning grassland farmer of the year. So he's speaking on a panel with Brendan Horn from Chagask and Simon Linsky, who's a New Zealand farmer. And they're all talking, Mike is talking with those people about managing dry periods during the summer. So as we know, we've gotten some very dry periods there where there's no grass growth or much reduced grass growth during the summer periods. And how best to manage them is one of the topics that we're going to discuss at there.
As I say, it's all under one roof. My God, what a facility in UL Sports Arena. Parky Queeve did his job for the last few years. But really, the UL Sports Arena, all under one roof. I think the location is going to be brilliant. The timing is right, 15th of November. And I'm sure you'll urge all our listeners and farming families, make it a day out on Saturday week, the 15th.
Absolutely. Everyone is welcome to attend. We're looking forward to seeing as many people there as possible. Tickets are available online, www.ifj.ie/dairyday. And everyone is more than welcome.
ifj.ie, www.ifj.ie. Listen, Aidan Brennan, Dairy Editor of the Irish Farmer Journal, thanks for taking the call. And the best of luck with the big event, Irish Farmer Journal, Dairy Day 25, Saturday the 15th of November, UL Sports Arena. Thanks for taking the call, Aidan.
Thanks, Kieran.
FarmView with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by TierlawnFarmLife.com.
Only 18% of quad users surveyed, would you believe, wear a helmet whilst operating a quad. Staggering news there from a recent survey carried out by AgriWare. And to discuss this very alarming statistic, I'm delighted to be joined by Marcus O'Halloran, AgriWare Executive Director. Marcus, welcome back to our programme.
Thanks for having me, Kieran.
Marcus, you carried out the survey at the National Ploughing, but my God, 18% of quad users surveyed wear a helmet. That's very, very devastating news.
We'll carry out a survey of over 1,200 people at the Ploughing Championships. So as part of our sowing wellbeing in every field campaign, and questions around the focus on farm safety and wellbeing, but in particular, we had a focus around quad safety. And as you said, only 18% of those who own or use a quad always wear a helmet. And it is alarming. I suppose, Kieran, what the positive that came of the survey was that 50% of those that own a quad have completed a safety course since 2023. So the suggestion I would take out of that is that 50% of the people that we surveyed are moving their quads on, or who only purchased a quad in the last couple of years. But not to get away from the number that we have there of 18%, it is quite low. And the remaining 72%, they said they rarely or never wear a helmet.
And of course, they're so easy. And I was in a national school there last year, and they were discussing all of this. And I was amazed at the number of kids that say they get up with their dad, and the back are up in the front, and where the front where you might put up a bale, someone were sitting in the front, sitting in the back. So the awareness how dangerous this is, and indeed also the fact that the age limit is 16 years of age and over.
It is, and to the best of my knowledge, that's for a quad at 350 kilos, and with a maximum speed even at that of 45 kilometres an hour, Kieran. So, you know, I think as farmers, and just to mention, I'm a dairy and beef farmer myself, so and I own a quad, and I know exactly what it's like. But as farmers, we're probably rushing a bit around the place, and to think of the quad or to think of the helmet is not always the first on people's mind. And what we are saying with this is, you know, we're not actually saying farmers are criminals or anything like that. The reason we did this piece of work, Kieran, is because in May, the HSA released statistics on the deaths in agriculture this year, and three of those in April were related to quad-related accidents. And I suppose the reason we're highlighting this is because quads are such an integral part of the farm now, so they are. And, you know, as you said there, as far as having kids on quads and that, like, it's a no-go area, really, you know, and we need to be harder on ourselves in terms of that, because it's when we see three people losing their lives in April, it's three too many, Kieran.
And as you say, we have reports, and staggering to hear earlier this year, 3 to 4 deaths already in 2024, and indeed also serious accidents. Indeed, a lot of these serious accidents aren't reported as well, so while we might have the top line and one fatality is one too many, a lot of serious accidents as well.
There is, and you know, they're not the figure. We don't always read those figures, so we don't. And they're the statistics that are, their statistics would not maybe visible ones to the likes of yourself or myself unless we go digging for them. But what I would say, and look, I was pleased with the piece of work that we did was that each of the people that we had doing the service, they engaged with the farmers afterwards, and they walked them through. They walk them through the safety instructions that are there. They walk them through the legislation, and they educated those people in a conversation around what the requirements were around helmets. And when it was spoken to those farmers around people that have lost their lives, you know, I think it did take some of them back. But you know, I go back in that 50% figure that we have again, the complete of a quad safety course. Given that the legislation has only come in since 2023.
That's heartening to hear, isn't it, Marcus? That's heartening to hear.
I think it is. Yeah, I think it is. And like, I suppose, given our own, I'll use our own situation at home, you know, we would have bought a new quad in 2023. The warranty is almost up on that quad, and we'll be looking at moving that on again, you know. So, like, I think a lot of farmers are in the same position when it comes to quad. They do keep them moved on, and anyone who hasn't gotten the safety course completed, they'll have to do that in the next when they come to move it on again. But again, Lucas, farmers are busy places. We've less people working on farms than we had before. With the country's at full employment, labour shortage on farms has always been a problem when the country's been at full employment. And farmers are ultimately running the race. And particularly the farmers that are part-time, you know, they're doing jobs in the morning. They're going off the job during the day. They're doing jobs for evening. And, you know, they're torn every direction, so they aren't. And no different than a farmer that's full-time either. But all we're saying is, you know, there's a myth left behind when the fatality arises, and just to think, is there a safer way of doing this? And you know, I suppose this feeds back into everything that we're at too, and here, and our main role isn't around highlighting safety awareness. It's just one of the pieces that we do. But you know, we educate the public and bridge the gap between consumers and farmers around how food is produced, under animal health and welfare, sustainability, and the nutritious product that we produce in this country. So
Brilliant. And especially, I think, Marcus, especially you're targeting the young people here, the national school pupils, students in secondary school. I think it's the awareness that this survey has brought out. 80% squad users wear a helmet, but also on the positive, 15% have engaged in the safety course as regards quads. Listen, Marcus O'Halloran, AgriWare Executive Director. As always, Marcus, thanks for taking a call. Well done on the survey. Let's hope a lot of people will take on board the importance of the safety course for the quads, and also the importance of wearing your helmet. Thanks for taking our call.
Thanks, Kieran.
And before we go on the racing front, we had a good week again for local Waterford connections. Cross Channel wins for Dungarvan jock Sean Hula and Fosslass, and Kappa jock Tom Queeley at Lingfield. And back home, what a week again for Nockeen Butlerstown trainer. On Friday, Henry Saddle a double at Down Royal, as well as a winner at Dundalk, and followed up on Saturday with yet another double at Down Royal, which included the featured champion chase. Then on Sunday at Cork, he saddled his third double of the weekend, with Kappa trainer Declan Queeley also enjoying a good run, also in the winner's enclosure, as was Tallow trainer Sean O'Hearn, also saddling winners. While at the final flat meeting of the season at the Curragh, Rathcormac trainer Pat Flynn rounded off a great day for the parish with an impressive winner at headquarters. And finally, on the point-to-point front, Valley of Upper Jock Adam Feeney was in the winner's enclosure at Tiphun's point to point at Lisrona Clonmel. Well, that's my lot for this week's programme. Once again, my thanks to Ollie for all he's helped in putting this week's programme together. So from myself, Kieran O'Connor, stay safe, and hopefully I'll have your company again same time next week.
Farmview with Kieran O'Connor on WLR.
Brought to you by TierlawnFarmLife.com.